Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the richest nation on earth when we come back. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, it was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled, as a matter of right, to 33 articulable benefits. Some of those benefits are things like rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush said that what Americans want is jobs, jobs, jobs. But you know, that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in employment, and it's certainly not measured in jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in business. The money is in private business. It's in sales. It's not in public business, and there's no money in jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, it's time that you and I cashed in on our inheritance. It's time that we learn how to collect those benefits from that old covenant contract and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's called property. Instead of all this credit, debt, usury, inflation, and worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how to do just that, why don't you call for information on our CD, Homeschool for Adults, our business school. And then while you're at it, order our free general law CD package at the same time. That package now is free. That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative. It's entertaining. It's free. Educational. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the richest nation on earth. I started off last time and I said there was a young woman on the Lehrer NewsHour the other day, and she said that every American is entitled, has a right to health care insurance. Well, I think every American is entitled to a Rolls Royce, too. Now, I don't know who's going to pay for all these Rolls Royces for the Gordons and all these health insurance policies for these people that think they have a right to it. I guess it's you, the American taxpayer. But I just personally didn't think that I had a right to health care insurance, and I'm not claiming the right, and I don't want it, and I don't want the health care insurance, and I don't want you to have to pay for something for me that I don't want, can't use, shouldn't have, and don't need. But for some reason, in this presidential campaign, we have presidential candidates telling us that what we need is health care insurance, and I guess we're all going to get it, whether we like it or not, or whether we want it or not. And this young woman said, this is the richest nation on earth, and there isn't any reason why you shouldn't have national health care insurance, because we're so rich, have so much money, that, hell, we'll just pick that up, you know, with the tip money. I took exception to that last time, and I said, hey, boys and girls, this girl's been smoking something. I don't know what it is, but God, it must be good. This woman is so disconnected from reality that she's never going to find her hind end with both hands with a road map at high noon. No need to waste time trying to explain it to her. She'd never be able to grasp it. So I'm not out here trying to get people to jump on the bandwagon. You know, I read various newsletters and buy gold. Oh my God, sell your stocks today. Get out of your real estate and buy stocks don't buy stocks. Buy gold and save yourself. I'm not here to sell you gold or sell your house. I don't care if you go upside down and lose your ass. It isn't gonna affect me none. I'm a reporter and I get paid for reporting. And my report is that the United States of America is going into national captivity. The people of the United States of America are going into a Great Depression, probably at least equal to, if not greater than, the last one we went through. Now, we survived that last Great Depression. I mean, you know, the people of America didn't die just because we had an economic collapse. Hell, there was some casualties, you know, just like the sinking of the Titanic. You know, there was some people that died and there was some people that lived. And the people that lived went on to breathe and buy and sell and trade another day. And when this depression strikes here in America, what you're going to see is a massive transfer of wealth. Massive transfer of wealth. That's what a depression is.
A hyperinflation does the same thing. First of all, we're going to get hyperinflation. That's the worst thing that could happen. If I had to vote, you know, for one or the other, I would vote for depression. Pays better, and it's much more pleasant. But, you know, for getting a whipping, you know, it's kind of like your old man telling you, oh, you want to get it with the belt or with a stick? Well, you know, give it to me with the stick. It's bad, but it's not bad as that belt. My old Aunt Bessie used to use a switch. Oh, God, that was, I don't know where that woman got that switch idea over there, but that was cruel and unusual punishment if I ever heard it. But when Aunt Bessie spoke, I noticed that all the kids listened. I only failed to hear her one time. And then after she got that switch on my hiney over there, I listened to my Aunt Bessie too. There's an outcome that comes from these kinds of events, and we're about to see the outcome that comes from our actions over the last 50 or 60 years. And I don't care what you buy, I don't care what you do, I don't care how you do it. There's an event about to transpire, it's newsworthy, and I'm going to report on it. And then, you know, you're an adult, you're free, white, and 21. The thing caught my interest here was this young woman saying that America is the richest nation on earth. So I pointed out to you last time that you'd be in the top 50% of wealth holders on earth if you had just had $2,200 free and clear. $2,200 is all it takes. Everybody in America's got $2,200. It's just that their debts are much more than $2,200. So they can't qualify for any real wealth. Most Americans, more than half, cannot qualify for that position of being in the top 50% of wealth holders in the world. And this woman says that we Americans are the wealthiest people in the world. Well, it's true. We've got a lot of toys. We're still driving somebody else's car, living in somebody else's house, probably wearing somebody else's shorts. And there's a foreclosure coming. And when this foreclosure occurs, most of you people listening to me right now are going to lose your houses, lose your cars, and lose your shorts. Most. Not all of you. Some. I guess maybe more than half. I'm guessing probably more than half. Now, there's always survivors that come out of it. And you may be one of those survivors. You may be an accidental survivor. You may do absolutely nothing. Come out of this thing smelling like a rose. But I think you'd be best served if you were prepared for it. And the best time to have prepared for the Great Depression that we're heading into was about 10 years ago. Had you got started about 10 years ago, you'd be in Fat City today. Well, 5 years ago would have been better than nothing. Well, if you started 5 years ago, you might not be in Fat City, but you'd be in pretty good position. And in the last program, I pointed out we got a young fellow named Mark down in Austin, Texas. He didn't prepare at all. And then now he's upside down. We just talked to him a couple days ago. He said, well, his real estate broker says that he's upside down by 20,000. Well, next month he'll be upside down by 40,000. The month after that, 80,000. So, in other words, it's getting worse, and it's going to get to the point where he'll ultimately, just like the people on the Titanic, he's ultimately going to get his feet wet. He doesn't want to. He's doing everything he can to keep his feet from getting wet, but they're going to get wet. In fact, I think all of us are going to get wet feet. Now, some of us will survive this, and some of us won't, and I hope to be one of the survivors. And one of the tools that I use to keep me informed of the business trends that are going on and what's really going on in the world. I watch Katie and Brian every night. You know, I'm a newsman, and my job in life is to watch the news and what the hell's going on in the world. And Brian and Katie are nice people, and God love them. They're doing their best, I'm sure. But they don't tell us everything that's going on. They just don't have all the facts and figures straight. And that's just where reality's at. And as I'm watching the news, they're telling us that the president, the other day I reported this to you yesterday, I said, the president reported to us we are now entering into an economic slowdown. The president knows we're entering into an economic depression. He's got better information than I have, better information than you have. I know we're headed into an economic depression. Now, when you report this to people, a lot of times people just turn you off. They can't face the terrifying prospects of what's coming down. It happened on the Titanic. Many of those people could not face the terrifying prospects of what was coming. They went back to their staterooms. Closed the door. Well, you can't help people like that. Now, most of the people will run up on deck and flee to the stern of the ship. Well, okay, it is true that there is safety for a little bit longer in the stern of the ship, but you're going to get your feet wet just a little bit later than the people on the bow of the ship, because the whole ship is going to sink. And when the whole ship sinks, everybody's going to get wet. Now, I mentioned last time, I said, now, you people over in Australia and Canada and Europe, you're thinking over there, well, you know, let the Americans go. You know, they deserve it. I don't deny it. We deserve it. But boys and girls, when we go down, you're going with us, like it or lump it. The world economy has now been meshed into one gigantic world economy. When you take the United States out of it, when you take 25% of the world's consumption out of the pot, the rest of you people are going to get hungry. Well, that's just where reality's at. Now, we're beginning to see, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, we haven't got started good on this thing yet, but prices of foodstuffs are skyrocketing around the world. I say skyrocketing. When I use that term, the price of wheat has doubled over the last couple of years. Price of corn has doubled. The price of rice doubled in the last 90 days. Rice is the number one grain of most of the people in the world. Now, half the people in the world live on $2 a day. Can you grasp that, Americans and Canadians and New Zealanders? You Scotsmen and you Irishmen, can you understand? $2 a day. That's £1 a day, Englishmen. They live on that. Now, the worst part of it is they spend about 70%, on average, 70% of that £1 a day, $2 a day, on food. All right, now here's what's going to happen. Double that. Double the price of rice for a guy that lives on $2 a day. Can you do the arithmetic, kids? This guy is making $2 a day, and he spends $1.40 a day. And that's one point I'll put in my calculator. $1.40 a day spending on rice. Okay. Now, let's double the price of rice from $1.40 to $2.80. Now, how much money does this guy live on? $2 a day. How much does he spend on food? $2.80. How much does he make? $2. Can you say deficit? Deficit, boys and girls? Now, that's what just happened in the last 90 days. Now, the first victims of this worldwide famine are going to be the poor. About 3 billion people are going to die from starvation. How do I know that? Well, let me flip over here to the book that told me. Sometimes people like to have sources of information. So over here in Revelation chapter 6. This is in the Bible, by the way, for some of you kids out there that don't know the Bible. And this is called the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse over here, second seal. There went out a horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Okay, that's war. War. There's a great sword going out here in the world, boys and girls, and it's going to take people by war. Now, in the 20th century, war killed 100 million people. 100 million. That's a drop in the bucket, kids. Listen, the world's population grows by 100 million people a year. And I forgot who it was, Bertrand Russell, or one of those guys, you know, one of those Illuminist kind of guys, and he said, war has been a bitter disappointment. War has been a bitter disappointment. It doesn't kill people fast enough. See, these guys have they got a goal out here. They want to reduce the Earth's population by about 90%. They need to eliminate about 5 billion people, 5.5, 6.5, you know, about 6 billion people. And their ideal, they think, is 500 million people on the Earth. It's a half a billion. I thought I'd put that into the equation now as we go through here. Let's take a look here. Now, famine comes up in verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld in a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. All right, now, somebody's going to say, well, you know, you crazies out there, you right-wing radicals, you've been saying this, you know, for 300 years. So let me tell you something. There's a thing called peak oil. You've heard that word, peak oil. Now, I don't know when peak oil is coming. Some people say, well, peak oil is already here, it happened 3 years ago, or it's coming next year. But, you know, peak oil is a real term, and it's the term that we faced in the United States of America in 1973. That's when, for the first time in our history, that when we were going balls out production, I mean, we were just pumping every barrel of oil out of the ground that we could get. 1973, the United States of America consumed more oil than we could pump out of the ground in this country. And that was peak oil. Now, the other day I heard that they discovered 500 billion barrels. That's a half a trillion. 500 billion barrels of oil up in North Dakota. Hell, it wasn't discovered the other day. They discovered it in 1951. They just revealed it the other day. That's enough oil to run this country for the next 90 years. We use about 6 billion barrels a year. Hell, it's more than that. In this country, 6 billion barrels a year. And we got to 500. And divided by 6. That's a 83-year supply. 83 years. That's just in North Dakota. Don't have to pump any more oil in Texas or out in the Gulf, up in Alaska. Now, that does not mean that the United States isn't going to hit peak oil at some point in time, whether it is physically or politically created. You know, when you're using more than you're pumping, that's peak oil. And the world is approaching that right now. Now, there might be plenty of oil out there, and I've reported on this a number of times. I mean, hell, the world's got at least 14 trillion barrels of oil that we can identify from National Geographic and other sources, just reported out there on the Internet, for crying out loud. And you use about 30 billion barrels a day, a year. So if you took 30 and divided that into 14,000, how much is that? It was a bunch. 14 trillion is 14,000 billion, isn't it? I think that's right. 14,000 divided by 30 billion a year. 30. That's a 466-year supply, ain't it? Well, peak oil then would occur in 466 years. You know, that's not going to happen today or tomorrow or next week, but, you know, it's going to happen at some point in time. Now, of course, there are political forces and bad guys that get into the act over here, and when that happens, you know, well, then maybe it'll occur a little bit sooner than that, like maybe 2009 or 2010. I just wanted to point out to you that, you know, there's cause and effect. There's reality out there on the streets. Now, this lady over here says that America is the richest nation in the world. I just wanted to point out that there are finite limits, and that in some cases these finite limits are being exacerbated by political pressures, by the people that are in positions of power. People like President Bush and Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice and maybe 55 or 60 more politicians in your country, you know, in a city near you where you live. Well, here in the International Forecaster is a story. Came out, this is the Saturday, April 26th issue of the International Forecaster, and I'm going to take a couple of pages here. Let me read this to you. Talking about the richest nation in the world. And our presidential politicians are telling us we got to have health care insurance. I don't know what this is going to cost, kids. But your deficit for the year 2008 in the United States of America is going to top $1 trillion. Did you know that? It's already programmed in. You people are going to spend $1 trillion more than you're going to take into the till in the fiscal year 2008. And you think that you can afford national health care insurance? Hell, you can't even pay your current bills, for crying out loud. You people in America, you can't even pay the interest on your debt, much less reduce your debt. Now, I don't know that Brian and Katie are reporting that to you or Charlie, but, you know, somebody ought to tell you, you people have your heads up the wrong end of your anatomy. And this guy here, Bob Chapman, is out here at the forefront, you know, knocking on the door saying, hey, wake up, fire. Nobody listens to him, but I thought I'd share it with you. Now, he starts off by saying Caligula remains in denial as the barbarian stormed the gates of Rome. Perhaps he eventually, even believes some of the tripe emanating from the mainstream media and pundits, as well as from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. While even the Fed chairman has at least the chutzpah to use the dreaded R word, Caligula, that's referring to President Bush now, can only characterize our current financial catastrophe as an economic slowdown. We'd say that's a pretty good candidate for the understatement of the century. Our economy is in a total shambles, hanging on by a thread, while our peerless leader claims that we are undergoing an economic slowdown. He is joined by the rest of his fellow reprobates in our government, in the mainstream media, and on Wall Street, who collectively and continually lie and cajole at the behest of their Illuminist masters. They claim that a strong dollar policy is in our best national interest, while at the same time they are busily destroying the dollar. They claim that inflation is 4% when it is over 12%. They are telling us that unemployment is 5% when the real unemployment level is 14%. They claim last month 80,000 jobs were lost when the real number was in excess of 300,000. They claim our economy is turning around as consumer confidence drops to the lowest levels since the early 1980s. And in light of the fact that 70% of our tanking economy is driven by consumer spending, they're telling us that. They make it look like the big banks and financial institutions are being bailed out by the Federal Reserve, when in reality, it's the taxpayers that are doing the bailing through HUD and FHLB and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and hyperinflation. They tell us that the banks now are starting to show signs of recovery, even as the bank's insolvency deepens due to the ongoing destruction of a mountain of quivering derivatives, as foreclosures accelerate, as real estate prices plummet, as maniacal bets are unwound, and as the bear market in bonds gets underway, because rate cuts appear to be subsiding for a short time, at least until the next debacle hits. The old, we're in it for the long term, is being bandied about again by the media morons, such as the news commentators, to keep the dupes in the stock market so that the Illuminati can bail out at the top through their dark pools of liquidity while everyone else is left holding the bag, which is what happened in 2000. Now, I'm going to pause here and make my own editorial comment. Do you remember back in 2000 when the stock market, you know, the tech bubble broke? We took a bath for $7 trillion. Do you remember that? $7 trillion. All right, that's coming up again. Now, so far, the stock market, they're holding up. This is called the Plunge Protection Team. The government, through an executive order that Ronald Reagan put into operation in 1987, they get into the market. They got $200 billion. They can jack the stock market up anytime they want. They can jack the gold and silver markets down anytime they want. And they do it with paper. Not with physicals now, but they do it with paper. And they've got a big jag of money. And when they put this money in, they force the price of the stock higher. That makes you feel good, so you go out there and you buy it. Well, maybe you don't, but then somebody else does. Now, so far, they've been able to keep all of these balls in the air. they're juggling. They're working hard. I'll give them credit for that. And maybe they'll be able to pull the Fed out of the fire, because back in 1980, we were going through the same trauma back in 1980, and a guy by the name of Paul Volcker, he was the Fed chairman at the time, he's a big guy. He must weigh 300 pounds. He's about 5'18", and he's still alive. I just saw him. He was interviewed the other day, giving some comments about the economy, and Ben Bernanke, Helicopter Ben, they call him now. Well, anyway, Volcker came in, raised interest rates to 21%, pulled the Fed out of the fire, and kept us alive for another 20 years. God love Paul. Now the question arises, can Ben Bernanke and Chase Manhattan and all these J.P. Morgans and the rest of them, can they pull the Fed out of the fire again in 2008? God love them, I hope they do, you know. I hope these guys can get that hole plugged up. I hope these guys can get those 1,100 sacks of mail up on the next deck, you know. But I ain't going to waste my time helping them. I'm going to prepare for the sinking. I think this thing's going down. So I just tell my students when they come in here, well, I think you'd be better off, based upon what you see here in the food markets, to be buying more rice. I thought, just my common sense says, if you see the price of rice double in 90 days, looks like that's a hell of a lot better bet than a 401k. Looks like to me that you'll make more money on rice, corn, beans, honey, and oil than you're going to make in making stocks and bonds, making real estate. And I'll just threw that out there for your consideration. I'm here to tell you to buy rice, but, you know, my common sense tells me that you probably do better at it. Now, a recession, you know, is when you lose your job. Excuse me, that's when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose your job. And there's going to be a lot of job loss here, a lot of job loss. We haven't seen that come up yet, but it's coming. Now, remember, from October of 1929 to March of 1933, that's the down leg of the Great Depression. Then we bounce on the bottom from 1933 to 36. Then we start up. And then we hit a second leg in the Depression, 1937 and 38. Then we hit a leg up. Things don't move very rapidly until December of 1941. Boy, from December of 1941 on, the war just made money for everybody. Depression's over. Let's call good work. And that lasted until 1968. 1945, they got a couple of three recessions in between, but you know those little dips in the market, they don't count to much. Don't amount to much. 68 was a recession. It amounted to something. It led to the loss of our gold. 1971, we couldn't pay our debts. Second bankruptcy here. 1933 is bankruptcy number one. Bankruptcy number two is closing the gold window in August of 1971. Fiat currency time. Now we're to the end of the fiat currency. August 2007, big date, beginning of the second Great Depression. All right, now note that down while we give you your reminder here that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Remember, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard in more than 100 countries every day, daily, over the internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and Law Hour, please go to our website. That's at georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and the biblical law from a scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk. If you'd like more information, the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. For your listening convenience, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school. Just call us and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. That'll tell you more about us and what we're doing and why. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. A lot of times people want to know how I get paid. They call and say, well, you're on the radio every day and you ain't charging nothing and you ain't selling nothing. So how do you get paid? I don't know. Go to our website and we'll tell you. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, do not mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. I want to keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. But these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or a local radio station. So if you'd like more information, remember the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Just go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can go and call us on the telephone direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the International Forecaster. Let me give you a name and a number for that guy. This guy's name is Bob Chapman. It's $160 a year, worth every penny, every dime, every dollar. This guy's got his finger on the pulse. In fact, this guy's an old-timey, I don't know if he's a CIA or Army spook, but he's well-connected to this day. Lives offshore in another country, so he doesn't go to the concentration camp. And publishes this newsletter twice a week. Probably 45, 50 issues a year, $160. It's about 20 pages twice a week, about 40 pages a week, more than most of you people can read. And then he'll tell you what Brian and Katie aren't telling you, you know, Brian, Katie, and Charlie. Now, you can get a copy. Why don't I just give you his webpage? It's the internationalforecaster.com. That's simple enough. www.theinternationalforecaster.com. International Forecaster.com. Now, it's all one word, International Forecaster.com. Go to their webpage. And click on. Now, for those of you that don't have computers, you know, and you're listening to the radio someplace, they're also located at Post Office Box 510518. That's 510518. Punta Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. And they tell us here that you got to have the full zip code. That's 33951-0518, or they'll send a letter back to you. Now, how do you like that? P.O. Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951-0518. That will get you connected with the International Forecaster. Listen to this. He said, our government officials, as well as banking and corporate leaders, have created a culture permeated with pathological liars and sociopaths. They subscribe to the same situational ethics which they are teaching to our children in public school, so they can grow up to be miscreants like them. Some of them may have and may even believe their own lies, being unable to separate truth from fiction anymore because the lying has become so rampant and pervasive. Some have probably even forgotten what the real truth is, having not entertained it or even thought about it for decades. And who can blame the ones who have, for the real truth is nothing less than terrifying. Their plans call for the depopulation of 5 billion people by starvation, disease, and who knows what else, the destruction of Western economies, the beggaring and serfdom of the citizens of the United States, Canada, and Western Europe, all with the whimsical hope that we can all dance around the one world maypole together someday before they haul us all off to the internment camps. Now, the disconnect that has occurred between what we're told and what we actually experience must be leaving uninformed non-subscribers in a surreal state where they can no longer reconcile what their eyes see with what their ears hear. You have two choices. You can become a subscriber to the International Forecaster, or you can enter the Twilight Zone. Now, we thought we would have a little calculation fun in this issue to show you the devastating effects of inflation along with the deflation of real estate. If these calculations do not get you motivated to institute some change, then nothing will. Now, Chapman here, he's an evangelist, you know, at heart. And he's trying to get you people to change your ways and save yourselves. And as a reporter, I'm not here to save you. I'm just here to inform you. Then you can die. You can come up in the resurrection. God can ask you, hey, dummy, did you learn anything from that? And then you can look back and you can say, oh, my God, I was so busy moving mail sacks out of the mailroom up to the next deck, I didn't have time to save myself when the saving was good. I mentioned that to you in the last program. That, you know, the 8 mail handlers on the Titanic spent the first hour saving 1,100 sacks of mail from the mailroom. They moved them all up to the next deck. As soon as they got the last mail sacks up to the next deck up, the water started flooding that deck. So if you want to spend your time moving mail sacks while the ship is sinking, get after it. I'm not here to dissuade you. I told you about that young fella down in Austin, Texas. I mean, he's been so busy moving mail sacks over the past year, he hasn't been thinking about getting off the ship. Then a couple of days ago, he was up here to the school, and he said he's talking to his real estate lady, and the real estate lady says, well, you're underwater by $20,000, past $20,000, and we'll take this real estate off your hands. As soon as you get the mail sacks up to the next deck, that deck is flooded already. Okay, well, now that being the case, what we're about to discuss here, it is terrifying. I don't deny it. My God, the Great Depression of the 1930s was terrifying. But just because it's terrifying doesn't mean that you can prevent it by ignoring it, or that you can save yourself from it by not knowing anything about it. Ignorance is bliss. Well, if ignorance is so damn much bliss, how come we don't have more happy people? There's no shortage of ignorance going on out here, boys and girls. There ought to be absolute bliss and happiness. And this lady who's telling us, we're the richest nation on earth. Let me tell you some story here. Listen to this. Let's do a little calculations. Let's suppose you are a millionaire. Yeah, you, right now. In fact, we'll go a step further. Let's suppose you're a millionaire back in 2000 when you decide to retire. Now, you have exactly $1 million set aside for your retirement. This is the year 2000. Now, a lot of you people retired in the year 2000, and you didn't have anywhere near $1 million. Get your pencils out here, boys and girls. Let's learn how to count. Let me show you something here. So let's assume that on average, you've invested your money very conservatively outside of precious metals. You didn't buy any gold, no silver. You got your 401ks, and you got your stocks and bonds, and you got your real estate in your home, and all that. And you're getting a generous 5% return after taxes. I mean, after taxes, we're going to give you 5%. You people out there from the year 2000 to today have not been getting 5% return on your money, boys and girls, let alone 5% return after taxes. But let's assume that you did. From the beginning of 2000 to the end of 2011, now that's 3 years from now. All right. According to Shadow Stats, inflation has averaged 9% from 2000 to 2007, and we expect it to average about 15% for the period 2008 to 2011. which is extremely conservative, considering that actual gross domestic product, as opposed to the official gross domestic product. Let me underline that. You see, we have an actual GDP. That's where reality is. And then we have what the government tells us it is. And that's a lie. And that is a negative 2 to 3%. The actual gross domestic product is running 2 to 3% negative. Boys and girls, it's been running that way since 2000. Let me pause right here and I'll tell you how that's done. The way we count gross domestic product in this country, and I suspect you Australians and Canadians do the same thing, we count all of the goods and services that are bought, sold, and traded in a year. And the United States are telling us we're buying, selling, and trading $13 trillion a year. All of us Americans running around stirring up a lot of dust and hate and discontent, working our hearts out 16 hours a day. We're producing $13 trillion. All right. That's a big number. Let's bring this down to a more reasonable and understandable level. Let's suppose that I'm producing cattle, and I got 100 cows. And my 100 cows have 100% calving, and we get 100 calves. And I raise the calves up, and I sell the 100 calves for $500. So my gross domestic product, all of the goods and services that I produced on my farm for the year is $50,000. All right, got that? Write it down, $50,000. All right. Now next year, I got the same 100 cows, but I raise my prices from $500 to $1,000. And now I sell the same 100 calves, but now I do $60,000 worth of sales. See that? $60,000. What's my gross domestic product? 10% higher than it was last year. So we show growth of 10%. How many calves did I produce? 100. Same numbers last year. How much more real wealth have we created? None. Zero. Zilch. Ah, but our GDP went up by 10%, and that's what they're selling. They've been selling that crap to you for the last 10 years, and you people swallow it and love it. But your gross domestic product hasn't been going up 2, 3, 4, 5% like they've been telling you. And the reason for that is that your government is inflating. That is, they're putting more money into circulation every single year. And when they do that through the war over in Iraq and Afghanistan, they're spending more money than they're taking in. See? And so therefore, you end up at the end of the year with more money in circulation. And this bids up prices, and it bids up your labor. So you're getting paid more money now than you were 7, 8 years ago. Your wages went up. And the prices went up 10%, and then your wages went up 5%. You have a net 5% loss in your standard of living. You people love it. Love it. All you Christians out there, you can't count. You got 5% more money, which buys 5% less goods. But you love it. My God, you people love it. All right, now that's the way that game is played. Now, you have a negative 2 to 3% GDP. While M3, that's the money supply that is being put out, is running 17 to 18%. Ben Bernanke, this is Helicopter Ben now, he's putting out 18% more money this year than there was in circulation last year. Now, if we were on a gold standard and we had gold miners out there producing 18% more gold, and putting it out in circulation, we wouldn't have any inflation. But Ben, see, he goes out and he just prints up 18% more money, puts it into circulation, and depreciates the whole money pool out there by 18%. Now, that 17, 18% has been running at 9% for the last 7 or 8 years, but they're getting desperate now, see. As the housing bubble implodes, they got to have more money in circulation to keep this thing from turning turtle. So they're printing more. We're going into Weimar Republic territory here. We're going to print more money, loan more money out, and keep the ball in the air. That's the objective. Now, this inflation spread of about 20% that's going to manifest itself in 2009. It takes 18 months for this to manifest itself. So the money that's being put out in circulation today, it's not going to bid prices up today, tomorrow or next week. It's going to be in 2009, 10, and 11. Now, even the current inflation rate of 12% is going to be moved up to 18% next year. So let's see how much money you have left in dollars based on the dollar's buying power in the year 2000 when you get to the year 2011. Some simple math shows, now I'm going to underline some simple math. That might be simple math for you people, you know, in South Korea or Japan, but you got to remember you're dealing with Americans here. These people are Christians. Christians can't count. We go to public school. Hell, we can't even do simple math. This is a complex economic calculation that the average American cannot handle. Boys and girls worldwide, the average American does not even know what kind of mortgage he has on his house. How in the hell can he do simple arithmetic and figure out the purchasing power of his retirement dollars with 15% inflation compounded for 11 years? That's preposterous. So when Bob Chapman says, let's do some simple math here, he's got his head up his wrong end again. Bob, there isn't more than a couple dozen Americans that could work out this calculation. We'd have to ship this to India, China, or Japan to find a mathematician who could work this out. Now, fortunately for all of us Americans, Bob Chapman, being a little older than I am, having been better educated, he can actually work out these numbers. But even if he couldn't, there's an organization called ShadowStats. ShadowStats, staffed with real smart people with college degrees who can work out this calculation. Now get your pencil out here, boys and girls, as they say down at the Blue Room. Let's read them and weep. Some simple math shows that in the year 2011, you'd have to have $1,795,000. That's 1.8 million in 2011 dollars. But the buying power equivalent in year 2000 dollars would be only 515,000. Okay, pause. Now, you've invested your $2,000, your $1,000,000 at 5% compounded. In the year 2011, you're going to have $1,000,008. You're going to have an $800,000 gain. Wow. Ain't I smart? I retired in 2000 with $1,000,000. And in the year 2011, I'm going to have $1,800,000. Oh, my God, the wisdom, the genius of my investment. All right, got that down? All right, that's Americans for you. The purchasing power in 2011 is going to be $500,000, $2,000. That means that you have a net loss of approximately $500,000, $485,000. You're no longer a millionaire by year 2000 standards. In fact, your buying power has been cut in half. And if inflation isn't stopped at some point, it'll only get worse. Had you only managed a 2% after-tax return instead of 5%, 2% after-tax return instead of 5%, you'd have $1,200,000 in 2011, but your buying power would be reduced to $363,000, or about a third of what you started with. Now let's throw in the withdrawals that you had to make and the taxes you had to pay along the way, and any thoughts you might have concerning your upcoming retirement get downright depressing. Then try to imagine how you would feel if your original kitty was only $200,000 or $100,000, like most people. Yeah, kids, most people in 2000 did not retire with $1,000,000. That's some kind of a fantasy. Most people, when they retire, are going to have Social Security paying them $1,000 a month, and maybe they've got a retirement paying them another $300 or $400 or $500 a month, and then maybe they got their house paid for, they hope, and then maybe there's a couple other bucks saved up in the bank. And maybe he's got $100,000, maybe he's got $150,000, $200,000, maybe with his house, $300,000, $400,000. But people don't have $1,000,000 when they retire. Come on, let's grow up and get real. Here's the reality of it. Most people have $100,000 or $200,000. They turn 62, sign up for Social Security, and then you get pauperized. Do you still think that consumer spending is going to recover when seniors are beggared? Will unemployment improve when seniors are forced to keep their jobs or face starvation? How will we make room for the next generation when so few of us can afford to retire? What will happen when the tens of trillions of dollars in Social Security and Medicare entitlements come due for the baby boomers and can't be paid? Now remember, we started this discussion with the young lady on the Lair News Hour saying, America is the richest nation in the world, and Americans have a right to health care insurance. In spite of the fact that your 2008 budget is $1 trillion in the red. And you people out here say, well, I don't see why we can't have national health care insurance. President Bush, a couple of years ago, gave all your seniors free drugs. I'll tell you, if you want to stimulate the economy, why don't you give all the drug addicts in America free drugs? A taxpayer expense. Hell, that would eliminate the drug problem, wouldn't it? Why would you go down on the street and buy cocaine from Don down there on the corner when you can just walk into any Rexall store and get your free prescription filled, huh? And think of the boon that would make for all of the pharmaceutical companies. God, I never thought of this. I should write my congressman, Kit Bond, you know, my senator, say, Kit, why don't you come up with a new plan? Let's stimulate the economy. Let's take all the drug addicts. Let's win the war on drugs. We'll just give everybody a free taxpayer paid for Medicare card. You should go down to your local Rexall or Osco Buttery or Walgreens and have your prescription filled for cocaine, marijuana, or heroin, huh? Hell, we're the richest nation on earth. I don't see why our drug addicts shouldn't have the same kind of free drug benefit program that the seniors have. Can you? After all, the richest nation on earth ought to provide for its drug addicts in the same way it provides for its seniors, it seemed like to me. While we're at it, why don't we have free vaccinations at taxpayer expense? No sense making 50 million kids go down and pay $25 for a shot, and when the richest nation on earth could just put it on the taxpayer's bill and have the taxpayers pay. Hell, while we're at it, don't you all think that we ought to have a national automobile right? I mean, if the government has the duty to provide you with health care insurance, my God, don't they have the duty to provide you with transportation? Shouldn't we all have a national automobile benefit? And with the price of gasoline going up the way it is, don't you think that all Americans have a right to gasoline? At government expense? Don't you think that the federal government should issue cards so that we can go down and get our gasoline allotment? I need about 100 gallons a month. Now, if I had 100 gallons of gasoline a month, what would that cost me? $4 a gallon. $400 a month. I think that's about right. And I think that the federal government should subsidize gasoline. Can you see where we're going with this, kids? Have we taken leave of our senses in this country? Is this woman, this young woman, more likely with a college degree, has this woman ever come to grips with reality, for God's sake? We have an entitlement. We're entitled as Americans to having national health care insurance paid for by the government, some kind of a program over here. All right. Now, here's what we're going to show you here. Pay attention here. You're no longer a millionaire by 2000 standards. In fact, your buying power has been cut in half, and that's what inflation does to you. Every time Helicopter Ben puts out a new dollar and puts it into circulation, it makes the dollars that you've already got cheaper, and it drives and bids prices higher. You're going to get more paycheck. No doubt about it. You're going to get a raise in pay. You're going to start charging more money. But, my God, the price of rice doubles. When these prices take off, boys and girls, they double. We haven't got into the shortages. I haven't reported to you yet about the agricultural problems down in Australia. They lost the crop down there. We're in the process of losing about half the wheat crop in the United States as I speak, right now. As I speak, we've been having floods in the Midwest. Have you been paying attention? Do you know what that does to the wheat crop that was put in the ground last September and October? Huh? Huh, kids? In the cities where your only concern in life is a sunshiny weekend so that we can go boating and playing? Got any idea what that means to you? Price of wheat's already doubled. Hell, it's gone up six times over what it was 5 or 6 years ago. Doubled in the last year. Price of wheat, $26 a bushel. And I tell you, boys and girls, wheat at $26 a bushel is a steal. And you should be out there buying every damn bushel you can get your hands on right now, today. Buy wheat. I tell my students, you're better off buying wheat than you are gold. The gold is very unpalatable. Hey, I got to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 100 countries daily over the internet and radio. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the webpage as well. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. Hey, we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.